Hey there, welcome to the Balanced Mompreneur, a podcast designed to help you grow in business, faith, and motherhood. I'm Cherie Sauer, boy mom, faith-based mompreneur coach, and owner of Heartfelt Mamas. Each week, I will be interviewing faith-filled mompreneurs and giving you tips and tricks to help you grow a profitable, sustainable business without burnout and without sacrificing your family. Let's get started. Hello, fellow mompreneurs. I'm excited to be here today. I have Lydia Vickery with me. Did I say that right, Lydia?
Yes.
Okay, good. I have Lydia with me today. We're going to be doing our very first hot seat coaching. So Lydia is in my free Heartfelt Mamas community, a community for mompreneurs to grow in business, faith, and motherhood. And Lydia has been working hard to maintain her boundaries. She just recently had a new baby, so I'm going to let her tell you about her and give you her background, but she's kind of at a place of feeling a little bit overwhelmed with everything that's going on, and so I just wanted to bring her on for a live coaching session to just kind of help her walk through this and steps for moving forward. So Lydia, welcome to the Balanced Mompreneur podcast. I'm super excited to have you here. Please introduce yourself. Tell us about you, your family, and how you got and what you do and how you got into it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me on. So basically I, as you said, I'm an online business manager. I actually started as a virtual assistant about a year and a half ago. I had been working for about 6 months full-time in person, and I wanted to stay home with my son. At the time, he was one. He had just turned one, I guess, when I started my business, and he's now 2.5. And I also just had another baby who is 2.5 months. So when I first started my business, everything was kind of good, you know, grew my clientele, and I was easily able to work during naps and nighttime. And now with adding number two to the mix, that looks a bit different. And obviously my 2.5-year-old is a bit more active and wild and not napping as much. So yeah, I guess that's kind of what's brought me here.
Lydia, tell me about a little bit about your background. How did you decide to get into VA work?
Yeah, so I basically, so I went to school for business, and I have always been like with my internships and whatnot throughout school, been kind of like that admin, that numbers person, kind of just getting tasks done, checked off the to-do list, off other people's plates. And when I was working full-time, I was a project manager for a construction company. But I hated being away from my son, so I wanted to do something from home. I heard about virtual assisting, and I kind of just jumped in. Some of my clients were family friends, and then I got referrals. Others came through Instagram, Facebook, that kind of thing. And it grew really quickly. It's kind of this like world that you don't really know about until you do, and then it's giant. So most of my friends and family are like, "What do you do?" But yeah. So that's kind of where I got started.
I love it. How many clients do you have currently?
So currently I have 8. I just brought a new one on, and then I actually am in the process of dropping one at the end of the month, just because I couldn't handle the workload that she needed. So.
And how many hours a week do you work on helping those 8 clients?
Oh, I would say 30, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many hours do you feel you're actually capable of doing, or how much would you prefer to be doing?
Yeah, probably like, I don't even know at that point. Like, I mean, I would say maybe 15 to 20 would be doable, and a lot more enjoyable, because right now I just feel like I'm either mom or business owner. I don't really ever have time. Not one of those things.
Yeah. Like, or you're not getting a lot of time, not getting much downtime for yourself.
No.
Is what I'm hearing. which is important, right? It's very important that we get that time, because then we don't have the capacity to take care of our family or the clients. Exactly. So that's, we're going to try to like dive into today to figure out, okay, like, why are you at this capacity? When you feel like, you know, you're at a capacity of 30 hours a week, but you feel like you want to be more at like 15 to 20 to make it more manageable. And so to give everybody listening a little bit of a background, Lydia and I went back and forth a little bit, already. And so she, you know, we talked about outsourcing, and, Lydia, give us kind of the history on what you did to outsource in the past. When did you start outsourcing for the first time?
Yeah. So I guess I started outsourcing probably about a year ago now. And I had three different, subcontractors that I outsourced to. One of them was a really good friend of mine, and she just did Instagram engagement for me for some of my clients, and that actually went really well. But she had another job, so she actually said, like, I have too much on my plate. The other two were doing some additional tasks for me, and the skill level that was needed for the task was not exactly where they were, so I had to train. Some mistakes were made that I had to kind of fix. So it became kind of more of like just a stress and a worry, I guess, about like the level of work and the quality of work. So I don't outsource currently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you could outsource in your house that would help alleviate some of the stress off of you, so you could create more time for yourself outside of business and kids, right? Because there's lots of house stuff that happens as well.
Yeah. So my husband's great. He always asks what he can do to help. And like, he does the dishes every night after dinner and that kind of thing. But I'm the kind of person that likes housework. Like, I enjoy it. So okay. I like hate asking for help, like outsourcing that stuff, just because it's stuff I do enjoy and I want to personally do it. I would rather like outsource business stuff, but then I don't know, I guess I kind of have a little bit of a control freak thing. So
Okay. So that's really important to know and to understand about yourself, because most people do not enjoy housework. So they get so stuck on like outsourcing the business stuff that they forget, like, there's other things in your life that you can outsource or that you can say no to. Right. And so the fact that you enjoy housework, is not a bad thing. And I think that's like, do you feel like it energizes you to do housework?
Yeah. I love, like, if I'm stressed or like anxious about something, I'll clean, like I'll go like organize a room, like
Okay. Oh my gosh, you sound so similar to my husband. This is funny. Do you know what your Enneagram number is?
A two.
Okay.
What are you?
I'm a seven.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is why I need VAs and organized people in my life.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's really good to know. You enjoy housework. What about cooking?
I enjoy it, but I also deal with mom guilt a lot. So it does make it hard, like, because I have to stop playing with my son to cook dinner. So often I won't, because I feel bad to leave him and not play with him. So I do enjoy cooking, but I don't do it as often as I like to, just because, yeah.
And is there any way you could outsource cooking, like bringing in pre-cooked meals, things like that?
We could. Yeah.
Okay. So that's one thing to keep in mind. I don't think that's the answer for you, because I already know, we're going to dive into this a little bit more, but, so I had asked Lydia, and this is why I wanted to bring her in on Hot Seat Coaching, because I asked her, what do you love to do in your business? And Lydia, what was your response?
Pretty much not really anything. Some of it I don't mind, but other stuff I like dread. None of it is like, oh my gosh, yay, I get to do this. So, yeah.
Okay. So, she's already tried outsourcing, right? So that's not a good option for her. So then the question becomes like, okay, why are we stuck in doing this work if you don't like it, right? Especially when you have kids and you have a new baby, and it's great if it's bridging the gap financially. But how do we transition you forward? Because here's the thing is if you continue to work on a business that you dread most of what you do, you're going to get burnt out. And then you're going to start to be more stressed and anxious. You're not going to be as good for your clients and you're not going to be as good for your family. So it becomes the kind of this vicious cycle, right? And so what I really want to do tonight is just dive into what does that look like? Why are you stuck in this place of doing this business and doing this stuff that you don't really love doing? Yeah. So did you start this business just because it was a way to get you home and out of your job and closer with your family, not necessarily because it was like a passion?
Yeah, it was a way to still have me financially contribute. So we were still, you know, not going in the red every month. But I was able to be home and care for my son during the day and not have to go to work, find childcare, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So we know that there's a financial component that you can't just be like, okay, I'm done with this. Yeah. Right. And then what's the other reason that's keeping you with as many clients as you have, outside of financial reasons?
Because I feel bad because they rely on me. So I guess that's kind of the Enneagram 2 coming out. Like, and some of them are like family friends that I've known for a long time, or just I've been working with them for a year and a half now. So I don't like letting people down, and I know that they need my help and that I'm supporting their businesses that support their families. So that weighs heavily on me.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So this is really good because I'm hearing a theme of guilt in everything, in your motherhood, right? You enjoy cooking, but you feel guilty going to cook and not being able to play with your son. You feel guilty because you want to provide support to these people and to their families, and you know that they're relying on you, but you have to bring it back to like, that's great, right? We want to help people, but especially as a two, as an Enneagram two, really thinking about what are your needs and what is going to support you and your family. Because if you continue doing a business that you don't really love, that doesn't fulfill you, especially when you have young kids and you already don't have a lot of energy because you're postpartum, right? Like it's really important to make sure that you're finding things that can bring you joy, whether that is, it's not happening in your business right now. So you've got to find a way to add more joy throughout your day. And maybe that's outsourcing the meals and you bringing another meal so you can get maybe 30 minutes to yourself before you have to transition into having family time or whatever that is, right? What are the things that are going to bring you energy? Because that is what's going to sustain you and fulfill you and keep you going to be able to support those clients and support your family. So let's dive into, so you have 8 clients, you just took on a new client. So tell me why you took on a new client if you knew like you were already at your max capacity.
So one of the reasons I took on this new client is it's a mom local in my area. She does like these preschool subscription boxes, and I actually used to be a preschool teacher. So it's kind of one of the businesses that I am supporting that I'm a little bit more passionate about and I have a little bit more knowledge about. So I feel more confident in doing some of the tasks just from my previous, background. So I felt that it was like a good fit client. And whereas the one that I'm dropping this month was not as good of a fit. So I kind of just switched them. But I did turn down 2 other ones that I was like, no, not a good fit. So.
Well, and that's good that you recognize that they weren't a good fit for you. And you're not just, because I think a lot of times what happens is like people take on clients or work out of fear that they're not going to be able to make it financially in a different way. Right. But what happens is when we are putting our time and our energy into something that is not fulfilling us, that is not giving us energy, eventually we just like burn out and then we help nobody, including our families, including ourselves. So how did you transition out that client? Because obviously, like you're saying, I feel guilty because these people are relying on me, but you were able to transition that client out. So tell me more about that.
So the client that I'm transitioning out, she's my second biggest client, and I've been working with her for over a year, but her business is really in a growth phase, and she has a lot of daily needs and a lot of things that are kind of, they need to happen that day. It's not like stuff where I can be like, okay, this is like what I have for the week. It's kind of tasks that pop up as needed and things that happen every day. She also likes to send like 15-minute long Boxer messages every day. So it was just a lot, like, it was a lot. So even though like she's awesome and I love her business and I love her and like, we're still going to be friends and I'm going to cheer for her in her business. It was just not, she's in a growth phase and I am in like a overwhelmed phase. I cannot grow right now. So I was like, I think it's in your best interest, my best interest, like, I'm finishing out the month for her. Obviously, like I gave her a month's notice so she could find someone and I can help with that new person onboarding them. But I think because we both knew like her business was growing and I was like, I cannot grow. So
that's so good that you recognize that. And I love that you said like it wasn't in her best interest and it wasn't in your best interest, right? And so for some of the clients that you're hanging on to out of guilt. Right. Even though, do you feel like you have, can you give them 100% of your best in the phase that you're in right now? Or is it better to transition them over time? Right. Cause you're saying, I feel guilty. They rely on me. Right. But there's other people out there that can help them. And can you transition them to somebody else that can invest more time into them? And so that part of that guilt is, it's just mindset, right? Overcoming that guilt and understanding why it's there and where it's coming from. And sometimes you have to dig deep into your past to figure out where that's coming from in order to be able to overcome it and let it go. You know, so you can't just be like, oh, I'm just not going to be guilty about that. I'm just going to let it go. A lot of times it's a lot deeper than that. And we won't get into that tonight. But just be aware of that, of like really understanding it doesn't matter what mindset it is, guilt, fear, lack of confidence, imposter syndrome, it all stems from somewhere and usually from somewhere in our past. And so if you can figure out where that's coming from and have the tools to overcome that, then it will make that a lot easier when it comes to decisions like this. And, you have to, especially as a two who wants to help everybody else, it's super important for you to really protect yourself and to take that time for yourself, right? And part of the reason you're feeling so overwhelmed is because you are not getting that time for yourself. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, very fair to say. And I think also like in along the lines of like the time to myself, normally one day a week, my older son, my toddler, he goes to my mother-in-law's house while they've been sick for a couple of weeks and then they're going on vacation. So I don't have any of that time. And with the new baby, he's always here, you know? So it's like, there's never that time. So I think it's just been a lot.
So Lydia, thinking about all of this stuff that you're talking about, and let's start here for a second. If you could do anything, like if you're like, oh, this energizes me. And you had said, I had asked Lydia this question, like if you could do anything, what would you do? And she had said, well, I'll let you, what was your answer to that, Lydia?
Yeah. So, well, I did give you two answers. So yeah. I can say both of them. Yeah. Okay. So I have always been really passionate about like volunteering and nonprofits and that kind of thing. So if I could do work that was impacting people in need, like that would light me up. That would energize me.
I'm gonna stop you right there for a second. What specific kind of work would you want to do? Because right now you're saying like nothing you're doing is really fulfilling you, right? And I know that there's like, if it was, you know, a mission that you resonated with, it would be a little bit easier. It'd be easier, but would it actually, if you were doing the same exact things for a nonprofit that you really believed in, would you be fulfilled in that?
Yes and no, like some of it. So I like to be really hands-on. So if I was just sitting in an office at a nonprofit and not really being hands-on with the work, I probably wouldn't be happy. But like if I was being hands-on and then also like doing their social media, like both of those things, then I would be happy, that kind of thing. But not if I was just doing like spreadsheets and, you know, that kind of stuff.
So you, so what I'm hearing is you want to do work that actually makes an impact, not just plugging in numbers.
Yeah. And makes an impact on like people that are in need. Like I know all of the business I'm helping are like, they're great and they're making an impact for people, but none of the business I work with are like, you know, they're not nonprofits. They're not like helping people with hunger, with basic needs, that kind of stuff. So.
And I think that makes a lot of sense for you as an Enneagram too.
Yeah.
That would be what is fulfilling to you. Mm-hmm. So is your, like, when you think about business, your background is in business. Mm-hmm. Is it like helping a business grow? Is it like helping them market so they can make a bigger impact on those people? Is it like, what specifically about your business background? And here's the other thing too. Are you just doing something because you do have a background in that and you're good at it versus like, what is your actual like zone of genius?
So I went to school for business and I grew up, my family had a restaurant growing up. So I've always kind of been in like the business, like entrepreneur world. But then I fell in love with teaching because I did, have you heard of AmeriCorps?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I did an AmeriCorps, teaching preschool in Baltimore City and I loved it. So then I became a teacher. And then when I had my son, I was like, okay, like I don't want to spend time away from him. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to stay home. But then I went full-time into business. Just financially, we couldn't have me stay home. So I think it's probably just something that I've always done and I've been good at because I've always done it. I'm not like tied to being, you know, like I have a business and I'm good at it, but like if there was something that wasn't business, I don't think I'd hate it. You know what I mean? Like okay. I've also been like a waitress, that kind of stuff. So hands-on stuff like that.
Okay. And that makes sense. So what was your second answer for like, if you could do anything, what would you do?
I would love to work on a farm. Like I just like doing stuff like with my hands and walking and moving and like being outside,
not sitting in front of a computer as much.
Yeah. Very different. Yeah.
And would it be working for a farm or would it be like having your own farm? Like, do you garden? What if you were to start a garden?
I'd love to have my own. Right now we live in a townhouse, so it's not really like farm. Yeah. But we do want to eventually buy with land. So, that would be awesome, but I would love to even just work at someone else's.
And I have a friend who's a business owner. She makes like organic bath and body care products. Oh, awesome. But she also has a garden and she runs a business and she has like 3 girls. And I'm like, how do you also like have a garden? But she's like, it's my like self-care. She's like getting out there and like working in my garden is totally what like fuels me. And so she's also just like very hands-on. She might even be an Enneagram too, actually. She's three. But anyway, so I think like even little things like that, right? Of maybe you can't just go work on a farm right now. Like that wouldn't work necessarily with young kids and things like that. Yeah. Like getting out on a farm, probably not then. But could you have a, you can't have a, you know, a garden, but could you do like a little planter box or little planters where you have to, and where you're getting your hands in as a form of self-care, right? Like in a way it's more work, but for you, it might be like super energizing and fulfilling, and having even your kids be able, not your baby, obviously, but having your toddler even be able to help with planting, because they love to, you know, be hands-on and stuff too. And so, so just a couple things to just kind of think about of like, okay, how can we incorporate some of this stuff that brings you joy? Even if you can't be out on a farm or have a whole garden, like what are some baby steps to be able to get there and to be able to add that into your life? And, you know, it might also be like, oh my gosh, that feels overwhelming. And if it feels overwhelming, that's probably not the place to start. But the point is like baby steps, right? Like we tend to go to this, like, if it's not this, then I can't do it at all. Which is not true. And so how, you know, what are some things that you can do that you can start to add these little things back in that do bring you joy and energy? That's going to be really important, especially as, when you're doing a business that's not super fulfilling, that it's just there kind of for financial reasons. And also like slowly transitioning clients out. And like you, I think you had said, like, you know, I can't really outsource necessarily because I don't want to hire people on and contractors, but I can refer people out. So the other question would be, are there certain things, maybe it's like social media management, something that's really time consuming, what do you feel like you're the best at? Like, what are you the best at that you feel like somebody else can't take on for your clients?
I don't know. That's a hard question. So for a lot of my clients, I do a variety of things. So if they were going to go to someone else, they might only be able to do one of those things where I can do like all 10 of the things they need. You know what I mean? So like, with leaving my other client at this month, she had me craft like the task list of what I do. And there's 32 things on that list. I don't know if you'll be able to find one person to do all these. You might need like a social media manager, a Pinterest manager, an admin VA, like these different people to cover that. But I think that's kind of what would be my strength, I would say, is like I can do a bunch of different things, whereas some people are more specialized in like one thing.
Yeah. And I know you said you don't really love doing anything, but what do you love doing the most? Like, is it social media management? Is it more the like administrative kind of little tasks?
I don't know. I mean, so I guess it depends on the client too. Cause like, for my new client who is the preschool one, I do Instagram engagement for her and I love it because I get to comment with and talk with other moms and give tips on like preschool and that kind of thing, which I used to do. But then I have another client I do that for, and it's not a business that I'm super background into. Then I'm like, I don't really like that. So it's so dependent on the person. I know that's not a great answer, but
no, that's a really good answer actually. Cause I was going to say, so for that client, that you don't love doing that social media management for, instead of hiring a contractor to do that, can you just say, I can't do this specific piece for you. And they go, you give them maybe some referrals to other people who do social media management. And if they're like, I really need somebody who does it all, then do you have those people that you can refer to? Somebody who does it all, other online business managers, or I know the VA that I work with, that's actually why I went to hers, because she did it all. And I was like, I don't want to have to go to, you know, 5 different people. And so there are other, you know, people out there that can provide that. Yeah. And so I think even if you're not ready to let that whole client go yet, or you're feeling some guilt, just starting to find what are some little things that you can maybe get off of your plate that you're not having to oversee, right? It's just like, hey, I just don't have the capacity to do this well for you. And I want to make sure that it's getting done well. So you're taking it off of, you're putting it kind of on back in them of like, I don't feel like I can serve this to my best ability right now because of everything that I have going on in my life. And so, you know, and just starting to have that conversation with some of the clients. And I say, like, I think social media management is probably like because that's such a big beast in a lot of ways. Right. And there's a lot of social media managers out there. That one's, I feel like it's probably a little bit easier than, you know, these other 20 tasks that, you know, all the little tasks you do, even if you don't necessarily love all those little tasks, but, you know, just making baby steps to transitioning, what are, you know, like, what are the biggest things you can get off your plate that's going to get you back into that 50 to 20 hours a week?
Yeah.
And, or is there maybe, how many clients do you feel like you would have to get off your plate to get to that 50 to 20 hours a week?
Yeah. So it's weird because some of my clients, like my workload for the month is maybe 4 hours and others it's like 40. So it's not really a client number. It would be more so on like,
Yeah.
Because I have one client that it's like daily stuff and it's normally 1 to 2 hours a day. And then others, I might not do something maybe once a week for. Yeah.
Are you doing like graphic design and stuff too?
I do for Instagram and Facebook. Like I do some stuff in Canva for them, for their posts, for content creation, but not like logos or websites or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So it's just a part of like the social media package.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever tried to outsource those kind of things? Like having all like a specific graphic designer that you work with that does all the like graphic creation?
Yeah, no, I haven't. I haven't tried that.
Okay. That would be another, and there's actually Danny Mize, who is in the Heartfelt Mamas community. That's all she does is like graphic design for small businesses. And she's fast and she's good at it. And so, you know, I think there's, when you start seeking and you start thinking kind of like outside the box of, especially somebody who has like a background in that and you can see their work and what they do, versus having a VA that like maybe has these different skill sets and you realize like they're maybe not as good as you wanted. I think it's easier when it, you know, like a graphic designer or something like that, where you can see their work ahead of time. Is probably a little bit easier than, you know, the kind of the little or smaller tasks that you don't really know until they start doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So with all of that, just kind of tell me how you're feeling with all that.
Those are all really helpful ideas and stuff I didn't think about. I feel like where you said, I kind of have guilt in everything. Like I feel that, and I know I need to work on that. So that's kind of like good to point out. Yeah, but no, I feel good about it. I guess my one thing is that if I am like outsourcing stuff, then I know that's like a financial hit. So then I'm like, okay, so do I take another client because now I'm outsourcing? Or like, do you know what I mean? Like, how do you balance that sometimes?
So I'm really glad you brought that up, because here's the other way you decrease your load and your overwhelm is increasing your prices.
Yeah.
Right? So higher prices means you need less clients. And if you have a track record and a history of, you know, and I don't know what your pricing is, and we can get in, we can talk about that and dive deeper if you want to. And I'm sure it probably depends on like the person and the client, but a lot of times what happens is people set their prices when they're first starting. Right. And then they never change them.
Yeah.
So that would be a question. Have you changed your pricing?
So, and I know like as a business coach, you're probably going to be like, oh no, like I do custom prices for all of my clients. Like I make a package based on their unique needs. So I do not have like a set price.
Okay. And that's okay. All right. So the VA I work with, same way, it's all customized, which I love. It's super helpful on my end. I know it's a little bit harder from your end, but I think in the work that you're doing, that makes sense. Instead of just trying to have like a blanket package, because not every business is the same. So having that blanket package, I don't think makes sense. Exactly. Especially when you're offering, if you were just doing social media management, that would be easier, right? Yeah. But if you're doing all these different things, I think it makes sense to customize. But just because you customize doesn't mean you can't raise the prices of the individual things. So say like, say for social media management, let's just say $500 a month for, I don't know, however many hours you do, you could raise that by however much, right? It could be by $50. It could be by $100. And I think when people think about raising their prices, they think it has to be like astronomical, right? Like I have to raise my prices by $1,000. Well, that's not necessarily true, right? But if you increase every single service that you offer by $50, what does that do in the grand scheme of things? So it doesn't always have to be this like crazy astronomical increase. And here's the thing you could do too. And Hillary, who she's actually an Enneagram coach in the Burnout to Balance program, but she's also, she's gone through the Burnout to Balance program. And so this is something that we've been talking about a lot is she's really good at marketing, but it's not her zone of genius. Her zone of genius is coaching on Enneagram. And so she tends to keep on these marketing clients because she's good at it. And it's also that like, I can't outsource it. I can't do it. I can't let it go. And so it's like, okay, if you're at a point where you have to think of you and your family and what is going to serve you best so you can be sustainable in the long run, if you're trying to transition clients out, the other way is you could say, I'm really sorry, but I have to increase my prices. And some of those people might be like, okay, I'm going to, and you could say like, you know, I totally understand. I can give you referrals to other people, right? Yeah, so yeah. Then you are still able to serve them, but you're not feeling so like, oh my gosh, I cannot keep up with this level of work. Because it really, in the long run, it doesn't serve anybody. And so that guilt that you're being, that guilt is keeping you stuck in thinking nobody else can do it like I can. Yeah. Right. But in reality,
we can.
Who's taking the hit here? You and your family and your kids. Right. And so when you think about like priorities, what are your priorities? And I'm guessing your clients probably aren't your number one priority. They're probably not even your number two priority. Right. Yeah. So where do they fall in the list in the grand scheme of things? And so when you compare it to that, like, what is my actual priority? Yes, I want to serve these people, but maybe me serving them is the best way to serve them is to let them go to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I do think that I think that raising your prices for new clients coming in is for sure something you need to do to reduce that amount of hours down. And then also, I just lost my train of thought.
When they drop, they increase it for them.
Yeah. And, I was going to say something else on the, with them. I think that you need to figure out, okay, 15 to 20 hours is my like max capacity. What do I need to do to get there? So what are the things, whether that's increasing your prices, whether that's letting go of a client, you know, and here's the thing, just like you said, with the preschool client that you took on, right? Like you are passionate about that. You're excited about that.
Yeah.
And that is going to show in the work that you're doing for that person versus the other social media that you don't so much love it. Are you really serving them at the best, or could somebody else serve them better?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Someone else that would be maybe more passionate about that kind of thing.
Yeah. And if you let that client go, that allows you more of those clients you let go, that allows you more room to take on the clients. Cause now you're at a place where you're like, okay, I know the people I want to work with. I know the types of businesses that I want to work with. So how can I let those other people go and open up space for these people who I really am passionate about working with? And that's okay, because that's part of starting a business is like you start and you don't know what you like or what you don't like until you get into it and you're far enough in it. Now you're like, okay, this is, I kind of know. And so again, to overcome that guilt, you have to flip the perspective and think about, I'm really not serving them at the very best I could. And so it really would serve them better to transfer them to somebody else. And then that allows you the space to increase your prices and take on new clients.
Yeah. That's a really helpful like shift to make in my mind that works in my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really mindset all comes down to like perspective and how we're thinking about it. Right. And so it's really getting into the like, okay, why is that guilt actually there? And it's because you're thinking of it in your own head, right? Like you can't see the out, you can't see the outside perspective and you're thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm the only one that can do this for them.
Yeah. Which is not true.
And if I let them go, like, oh gosh, I just feel so bad, you know, and when in reality, like, you know, it might be a hard transition for them, but you again have to think about yourself and putting yourself first, because that's what's best for you and for your family.
Yeah.
So good. Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. I have one more question, but do you have any questions or comments or anything that you're thinking
about? No, that's all been so helpful. Thank you.
Okay. The last thing I'll leave you with that I was thinking about is when you're talking about working with like nonprofits and that kind of stuff, is I keep thinking like, okay, is that like an executive director type role where you get to be really hands-on? And, you know, working with something you love and that you're doing, but not necessarily on the computer end of it. So I don't know. I mean, that would be stuff to start to explore too, is like, cause I think right now you're so stuck in like, okay, this is what I'm good at. This is what I can do from home. But that doesn't mean that there's not things that you can do from home or work part-time or still be really available for your family. That you can use more of your kind of your zone of genius versus like what you're good at. Have you read the book? Oh my gosh, I'm going to have like a total brain fart on what it's called. Right. He talks about like the zone of genius, zone of excellence. I can't remember what the other two are. I'll find out what it is. That would probably be a really good book for you to listen to.
Yeah.
Because I think what I'm hearing a lot is that you're doing things you're good at, not necessarily things that you are passionate about or that you love or that you're like the best at. And so even like when you were talking about like an online business manager, a couple of the other things that came up was like a consultant type role where you get to just kind of assess their business model and like efficiencies and things like that. I don't know if that's
like a strategy session type thing.
Yeah. And so there's other ways to add services, mm-hmm. right, that are outside of like the actual doing of the stuff, like a consultant or coaching or, you know, something like that, that frees up some of that time of you being so like hands-on on the computer. Those are just a couple of thoughts that I had that kind of came up. But you know, it's not for me to tell you what to do. I just ask the questions and help you figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. No, those are really good ideas too.
Yeah. So just start to think about that. And, you know, there's definitely ways to like explore. And I think sometimes it can get stuck in like, I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that, you know, things like that. So if that starts to come up, then that would be other stuff to explore into that. But I think right now guilt is what's keeping you stuck.
I think so too. Yeah.
Okay, Lydia, we're going to wrap up here. I would love to know, what is one piece of advice you have for a postpartum mom, postpartum mompreneur?
Oh man. probably just to give yourself grace, because I'm very hard on myself. So when you add a new member to your family, you're not going to be able to do what you used to be able to do. And you just have to realize that, because you just need to be okay with it. It's just a season. So that would be my advice.
Is there anything that you would like, knowing what you know now, mm-hmm. what would you have done differently in your business or in your life to prep for a new baby?
So I didn't have my business with my first son. But then with my second, my current clients, they asked if I was going to take leave. And I said, oh no, like, it'll be fine. Like, I went to work 2 weeks after having my first kid, like, it'll be fine. No, I would have definitely taken time. I had my son on a Thursday and I was back like helping my clients on Monday. So,
Oh my gosh, Lydia. I know.
So bad.
Did you hear that, new mamas? Take time. Oh my gosh. I think there's this perception of like, oh, baby just sleeps all the time and I work from home anyway. Like, it'll be fine. But like, I think we forget how time consuming newborns are and how just like drained you are physically, mentally, emotionally. So I think that is such a good wisdom.
Especially with a toddler, like doing both. I'm like, oh man, what was I thinking?
Oh my God. I think that's one of the misconceptions of being a mompreneur is like, it seems like, oh my gosh, your house must be all home all the or clean all the time because you're home and, you know, your kids are happy and like, it's so easy. You just get to work from home and it's hard. Like, it's hard. Working full time is hard too. But working from home with, especially with multiple kids, is real challenging. So I have no doubt that you're doing a great job, Lydia. And I just really encourage you to take time for yourself and just figure out how to schedule that in, even if it's in the middle of your workday. If you haven't yet, download the priorities over to-do lists.
I did.
Freebie. Okay, good. And really start to pay attention to that want, like, what do I want to do? And that is usually more of like the self-care type stuff. And you really need to listen to that and pay attention because it's usually the stuff we push aside and we fill in with the shoulds, right? And so just really, really start to pay attention to that and really listen to yourself because it's going to serve you and your family and your clients so much better.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for joining today's episode. I'm so thankful to have you here. And I just want you to know that God did not give you the gifts and the passions and the desires in your heart for you to feel overwhelmed and stressed, for you to be grumpy with your kids. We've all been there. I have been there. But I want you to know that God has equipped you with the ability to work from rest instead of stress. For the ability to find balance, and it's not about perfection. And it looks different for everyone. And I want to help you get there. I want to invite you in to my free Heartfelt Mamas community, a space where we grow together in business, faith, and motherhood. And if you are looking for a little extra accountability, join us in the Mompreneur membership where we meet 3 times a month. For more information, you can follow me at Heartfelt Mamas on Instagram or Facebook. You can go to my website at Heartfelt Mamas. That's heartfeltmamas.com/community. I can't wait to chat with you next week.